Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. Online at sportingjournalradio.com. Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Heard across Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin, or on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. You can even subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. This week, we'll talk about ruffed grouse with Matt Soberg from the Ruffed Grouse Society. Plus, he's heading out on a bucket list upland bird hunt this weekend. We'll find out where he's going in a few minutes. Brendan Weaver from Maven will join us. Maven is a top-of-the-line optics company that doesn't charge you top-of-the-line prices. We'll find out how they do that. And I'll tell you what happened to my Maven binoculars and how I'm impressed that they still work flawlessly. Doves open Friday, September 1st, and Tony Crotty will be here to offer some tips on dove hunting. Lucas Mertens checks in from Devil's Lake, and Joe Henry has a Lake of the Woods fishing report. Now, this week's show is brought to you by Visit Thief River Falls, home of Goose Fest, which is less than a month away, by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake, by Lake of the Woods Tourism, and by Mid-Migration Outfitters offering guided duck and goose hunts in western Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. Now, our first guest started Minnesota Sporting Journal magazine back in 2011, which in turn spawned this radio show. Now, he's the communications director at Ruffed Grouse Society. He lives in the Brainerd-Baxter area. He's Matt Soberg, or according to Siri, Matt Soberg. And he joins us now on the radio show. Matt, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. I appreciate your time.
Have you noticed that? Does Siri screw up your name like she does on my phone?
All the time, yeah. It's happened my whole life, to be honest with you. People like to add an L in there, you know, Solberg, and get spelled all different ways.
Well, I know how that goes. I've got a D in my last name, Amundson, which everybody pronounces Amundson. For whatever reason, we've always been Amundsons. And there's a D in there. You don't hear it. It's silent. But people like to take the D, which is at pretty much at the end of my name, and put it at the beginning of my last name. They'll call me like Amundson. I'm not quite sure how that works, but that's all right. I don't care. I've been called much, much worse. And Matt, I know we've had some 80-degree days this last week, but we've definitely had some cooler temperatures. The mornings have been nice and crisp. Is that getting you as excited as it is getting me excited?
It really, really is. I was packing for my trip this morning, and it just felt like fall. And it's really a beautiful time of year, no matter what type of hunting you do. But you know, for us upland hunters, Ted Lundgren, a famed upland hunter lawyer from Pine River, once told me over the phone, he said, you know, this time of year, we finally reached the island for which we've sailed all year. And it's so true. You know, the hunting season for all of us is way too short. And then the rest of the year, you just kind of wait for September and October to come, and it's finally here.
What a great way to describe it. That's exactly right. You're in the truck, you're driving out west, and I want to talk about where you're headed out there. But let's start with what's happening back home here. When do we open for roughs here, Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, this area? When do we open up?
Yep, it's Saturday, September 16th is the first day for rough grouse hunting. And then a week later, woodcock season starts. So rough season will run all the way through January 1st. Woodcock season is a little different since they're migratory birds. It's regulated by federal rules. And so the woodcock season, no matter where you are, is 45 days long. So, that'll start a week after September 16th and run for 45 days.
What about sharp? Do you pay attention to sharpies much?
Not a ton in Minnesota. Working for the Ruffed Grouse Society, my fall, you know, September, October, November is pretty chock full of weekends full of guiding grouse hunters and grouse hunting myself. But I will be chasing some sharpies out in Montana this weekend. So,
well, and we've got some time before the leaves come down here, you know, in our region. So it's hard for a lot of people to get really excited about rough grouse, even if those core grouse hunters will get excited no matter what. But this is a good time to venture out to other areas to fulfill some of those bucket list trips. And you're on the road. Tell us where you're headed right now.
Yeah, I'm on my way to Montana, actually. I've been doing this for the last 3 or 4 years. I head out to central Montana, start there. Opener for grouse, sharpies, huns, most of the upland birds except for pheasants starts September 1st every year. So it's really a great time. You know, you can get there, you can hunt for a couple of weeks if you can before the main upland season starts in North Dakota, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. And we always start hunting blue grouse up in the mountains for a couple of days. And once we get tired and our dogs get tired, we go down in the flatlands and chase sharpies and hunt around. So it's really a great opportunity. There's also sage grouse hunting. I know there's been some issues with sage grouse hunting and sage grouse habitat out there, but there's a lot of sage grouse out there, and that's sort of a bucket list bird too. So if we get a half a day or a day, we might chase sage grouse around a little bit too.
Man, sage grouse would be really cool. And I know they used to have, I think there's maybe like three left in North Dakota. So you can't hunt them in North Dakota anymore. And the population has definitely been having some issues, but that would be a neat bird to get one, you know, to go out and get one or something like that. They're such interesting birds. And I want to talk about the blue grouse here too for just a second, but I want to back up 1 minute. You said pheasant hunting opens September 1st out there. October 1st?
No. So yeah,
really?
Pheasants is later. It's not September.
Okay. No. All right. Well, I just wanted to make sure. Well, let's go back. Matt Soberg is our guest. He's from Rough Grouse Society here on Sporting Journal Radio. Tell us about blue grouse.
Yeah, blue grouse are a great bird. They're actually bigger than people think. A male blue grouse is huge. It's as big or bigger as a rooster pheasant, which surprises a lot of people. They're white meat, just like a ruffed grouse. So they taste really, really, really good. But they're hard to hunt. They're up in the high country. If you see some of those little mountain ranges out there, and you look at the top, there's always a sort of a bald spot up on top where the grass is, and then where, you know, higher than where that pines actually grow. So blue grouse habitat really is right where the pines meet the bald spots up on top. So it takes, you know, it's hard work for a flatlander like me to climb all the way up there, get your dogs up there, but it's nice open shot. If your dog goes on point, the birds always fly downhill, and you can get some nice open shots, some great scenery. You got to work pretty hard, but once you get them, it's really a special thing.
That sounds amazing. So do you try to get in shape a little bit before you go out and do this?
I actually do. I do some stair stepping. I do some regular running. I try to get the dogs out as much as possible too. I'll run with the dog. One important thing though, for any upland hunter going out west, especially if you hunt pheasants around here or grouse in the woods, it's pretty soft country around here, and you have to condition your dog's pads before you go out west. There's a lot more rocks, and if you don't condition their pads by running dogs on gravel roads or other ways, it'll be tough on their pads. They get pretty rough and bloody after a couple of days, and they're not able to hunt the whole trip. So condition them as much as you can before you go out there, and also always have dog booties on hand if a pad does get a little sore on one of your dogs.
So how hard is it for a guy, say, from our neck of the woods back here, to go out and just find birds out there? I mean, how much can you just go climb a mountain and find birds? You got to research areas that they're in. Do you, you know, how easy is it to find them?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like hunting rough grouse in Minnesota, to be honest with you. There's a lot of public land out there. So much public land, sometimes you take it for granted. It's always good to get a heads up from someone if you can, maybe to kind of show you some general areas where to go. But if you have an extra day or two, to just scout, just get out there, find access points, and then just do it by trial by error. There's plenty of birds. There's plenty of public land. I just encourage people to go out there and do it. We need more upland hunters out there, and not as hard as you think, as long as you put a little effort into it.
What's the limit, and what kind of gear do you bring? What kind of shot size, things like that?
Yeah, I think the limit is 3, but don't quote me on that. Check your regulations before you go out there. But I kind of treat them like hunting rust again. I'll shoot a 20 gauge or a 16 gauge. I have both with. I always, my first shot is with a 7.5 shot, and then I follow up with a 6 shot after that when they're getting a little bit further out. A wider gun is nice. because you will be working hard and sweating and climbing mountains and
hiking through the mountains.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, had some good boots. Like this weekend, it looks like it's going to be about 90 degrees. So it's
going
to be
smokes.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty hot for hunters and dogs. We'll be hunting early mornings and then in the evenings. And hunting in the higher elevations is a little cooler too. But those middle days, we'll be taking breaks, which will be nice because don't want to overwork the dog too much. That's a big deal.
Only a couple of minutes left here with Matt Soberg from Rough Grouse Society on his way to Montana to hunt blue grouse. And I interviewed Ted Dick a couple of weeks ago here on the show, and we talked about grouse habitat in Minnesota. And it was interesting because I came away with the feeling that more industry actually could lead to more birds, which seems odd when you talk about wildlife and habitat, Matt.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Minnesota's really lucky with all the public land we have and also the timber industry that's natural here. We work really close with many of the timber companies and consulting foresters to make sure that they understand, you know, the industry that they're in it for making money, obviously, and making products that we use every day. But one of our main jobs is to work with them closely to make sure that they understand when they do that they're doing it thinking about wildlife, thinking about habitat, and that in turn obviously helps hunters, and it's really a win-win for both conservation and industry, which is something a little different than what people usually think.
And explain to people why that timber industry is good for the birds and the habitat.
Yeah, the habitat that we champion is young forest habitat, and you can't have young forest habitat, you can't have young trees unless you cut old trees down. So the timber industry is cutting old trees, using them to make paper and whatever. But they're doing a lot of clear cuts on aspen. And when they do those clear cuts, you'd be so surprised how fast those trees grow up. You know, that those areas, although they look devastating in year one, they're huntable in year three, four, and five and beyond. And the birds require those young trees. It's kind of when you drive by, it's so thick you can hardly even see through it. They need that for many different things, including food, hiding from predators, all of those things. And so, you know, it ends up being a win-win for the timber industry getting trees. And then after a few years, it's great habitat for the birds. And oftentimes those trees are cut on public land, which is accessible, obviously, by hunters.
Gosh,
so Minnesota is a great place for it.
Yeah, it's so funny to think about that, how cutting down trees, essentially having an active industry essentially destroying habitat is creating new habitat and creating more habitat for wildlife like that, for rough grouse. It's interesting because you don't hear things like that with other animals and birds. Matt Soberg, when you talk about habitat and conservation, joining a conservation organization is probably one of the best things you can do to help out wildlife like the rough grouse or the woodcock. And Rough Grouse Society is a good one. Matt, how do they join?
Yeah, it's really, really easy. Go to ruffed.org, ruffed.org. Easy to sign up. Go there. You can see we have a new Upland store where you can get RGS logo gear and obviously find a lot more information about our habitat programs and what we do to champion grouse and woodcock hunting.
Very good, Matt. Good luck in Montana.
Thank you, Brett. Thanks for your time.
More bird talk on the way with Tony Crotty as we talk doves, plus Brendan Weaver will tell you how to spot those birds easier with Maven Optics. Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights checks in from Devil's Lake, and Joe Henry has a Lake of the Woods fishing report too. Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman, and if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit midmigrationoutfitters.com. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Haybale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Haybale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish
fish fries are a way of life, look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. With 2 million acres of hunting land and water to choose from, the Thief River Falls area offers hunters choices of deer, elk, bear, grouse, woodcock, and sandhill cranes. This is also a growing area for duck and goose populations, making it an untapped bonanza for waterfowlers. In any season, Thief River Falls is truly a hunter's paradise. Visit Thief River Falls for an authentic hunting experience in a variety of comfortable lodging amenities. They're pet friendly too. Plan your trip today at www.visittrf.com.
Back on Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. For the last week, I've been going over some video from our trip to Devil's Lake in February. We caught a pile of fish. We had a great time. We brought some first-timers to Devil's Lake and then fished out of a snow bear with Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. And Lucas Mertens from Hay Bale Heights joins us now on the show. Lucas, it's not too early to start thinking about ice fishing, is it?
No, it's not. Everybody thinks it's still summer, but ice fishing is right around the corner.
We brought Trevor Montgomery, his wife Beth, up there for their first trip to Devil's Lake, as it was on Trevor's bucket list to go fish Devil's Lake. How often do you hear that from people that come up there?
Oh, Brad, we hear that a lot. You know, a lot of people hear about Devil's Lake's great perch fishing and walleye fishing, and a lot of people, you know, they come to Devil's Lake, they try it one time, and a lot of times then they're regulars. You know, after they've tried it the first time, then, you know, it was either so good or that they just had to keep coming back.
And I'll tell you what, it's one of those things, when you go to Devil's Lake, when you go to North Dakota in general in the winter, you've always got one eye on the weather. And that day that we fished, the first day we fished, it was 48 below zero with the wind chill. And we fished in T-shirts. Lucas, how's that possible? How did we fish in T-shirts when it was that cold?
Well, I tell you, we're one of the only guys on Devil's Lake that are running the Snow Bear. And we started that about 3-4 years ago. And just because I thought that, you know, Devil's Lake needed something different other than the big fish houses, the permanent houses. Because our fish on Devil's Lake move. They are, they're always on the move and always looking for something bigger and better, so we got to move with those fish, and the Snow Bear just fits in just perfect for doing that. It keeps us warm, it lets us move a lot. I think at the end of the day, the buckets of fish kind of show for it.
And the weather can dictate how fishing is to some extent, but it seems like it doesn't quite bother them as much up there on Devil's Lake, does it?
Well, no, the weather does affect our fish, but somewhere on the lake, there's a bite going on, and so that's kind of the key to Devil's Lake, is being able to move, and hence that's where the Snow Bear comes in to effect. I mean, there's times we can move 40, 50 times, and not only can we just move the Snow Bear, but then we can get out of the Snow Bear, and we can search, you know, kind of a spot on a spot. So I just think it opens up the fishing for us, and we just are a lot more successful.
Mobility is the key, especially when you're perch fishing, it seems like. Lucas Mertens, our guest right now. He's from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake here on Sporting Journal Radio. What about right now? How's the fishing up there this week on Devil's Lake?
Well, we're anticipating a busy weekend. It's Labor Day weekend coming up for a lot of people. It's kind of the last hoorah before, you know, fall sports kicks in and some people start kind of gearing up for goose hunting and duck hunting, and our bow hunting season opens up on Friday too. So, the lake seems to quiet down a little bit. But even during the busy months on Devil's Lake, we have so much water to fish that it never really feels like you're that crowded. So that's kind of what's going on right now. The bite is good. There's a lot of anywhere from like 9-inch fish, all the way up to, you know, the bigger fish, the 24s and 25s being caught. I can see that we have a really good couple year classes of walleyes coming up. A lot of little fish being caught mixed in with those eater fish.
As we transition into fall here, of course, walleye fishing is probably just going to keep getting better. Do guys start getting into perch then here in the open water?
Yeah, there's already we're already running into some perch. You can catch them. I've been catching them on pulling lead core out in that deeper water on like Selmo hornets or even on like number sevens, things like that. You'll run into some pretty nice perch out there. And that's a good indicator of what's going to come for the winter. Seems like the better of a bite you have in the fall time, you know, kind of leads up to a good bite in the winter time.
Well, I love fall. It's my favorite time of the year. Of course, I'm always I'm always picking the shotgun over the fishing rod, it seems, although it's always a tough decision. But I am excited for winter fishing this year. And your ice fishing season, what, starts right around the beginning of January?
That's typically when we get going full blast, right after Christmas. Most of the time we don't have thick enough ice until that last week in December to get the bigger rigs out there, the snow bears and things like that. So right around the 1st of January is when we really get going, and we go hard all the way up until Mother Nature doesn't let us go out there anymore.
Sure. Well, most people know about the world-class waterfowl hunting around Devil's Lake. You got cabins if waterfowl hunters want to come up and stay there this fall, or if they want to fish the lake, or maybe do both, of course. But if you want to start booking ice fishing trips, now's the time to do it. Lucas, how do they reach you there at Hay Bale Heights?
Well, they can call me direct, 701-351-3130, or they can check out our webpage, haybaleheights.com. Or our Facebook page. There's always up-to-date stuff on the Facebook page.
Lucas Mertens, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Thank you for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, coming up, I've got a testimonial about a pair of Maven binoculars that I was freaking out about because of what happened. I'll let you know what I did and how they stood up to the beating. We'll talk about that next. Brennan Weaver from Maven will join us and tell us about some new optics that are out, plus dove hunting tips with Tony Crotty, and we'll get a fishing report from Joe Henry at Lake of the Woods. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
With 2 million acres of hunting land and water to choose from, the Thief River Falls area offers hunters choices of deer, elk, bear, grouse, woodcock, and sandhill cranes. This is also a growing area for duck and goose populations, making it an untapped bonanza for waterfowlers. In any season, Thief River Falls is truly a hunter's paradise. Visit Thief River Falls for an authentic hunting experience in a variety of comfortable lodging amenities. They're pet friendly too. Plan your trip today at www.visittrf.com. Hey anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, thanks for listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on 29 stations, on demand at sportingjournalradio.com, and podcastable in iTunes. I'm Brett Amundson, and I was first introduced to Maven binoculars at Game Fair a few years back, and boy, I was shocked at the clarity, the brightness, and the price tag. And to tell us more about Maven, Brendan Weaver joins us now here on the show. Brendan, how are things?
Great, Brett. Thanks for having me today.
Last time I saw you, we were smoking roosters at R&R pheasant hunting with Sal Roseland in South Dakota. That was a good time.
Yeah, that's a terrible place to go, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was fun. I really enjoyed that.
That was a lot.
What I really enjoyed was watching you and your dog, actually.
Oh, thank you very much. I enjoy having her out there, and she had a good time, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So, North Dakota, South Dakota, I love being in the Dakotas, and when we were there in South Dakota, I showed you my binoculars. They were in pretty good shape, but then, but since then, I had a little accident, Brendan.
Uh-oh.
We were in North, we were in North Dakota scouting for Canada geese, and when we do that, my mavens never leave the truck. I want to keep them in good shape. We scout so much in the truck anyway, I just leave them right in the truck, and then I got an old beat-up pair that if I need to have a pair in the blind for any reason, I got a pair that I can, that can drop kick and roll around on, and I'm not worried about them. But I want to take care of these. So we had pulled up to a spot, and we were scouting some geese. We were watching them bounce around in this kind of flooded bean field, and it was a big section, and they were all over the place, 6 here, 12 there. So we were glassing them. And then we decided to leave, and I was talking, we had like 3 trucks and we were coordinating, and I was talking to a couple of different guys, and I must have set them down on my bumper. And I even turned around and I'm like, what did I do with them? And I swore I set them down on the truck. I thought I looked at my bumper. I looked in the hood. I looked on the roof of my truck, and I was pulling a trailer, and I'm thinking maybe I set them on the fender of the trailer and didn't see them there. We drove 10 miles, and I was doing 60 miles an hour down the highway, and all of a sudden, one of the guys in the truck behind me, I see him in my mirrors turning around, so I call him up. I'm like, what the heck's going on? He's like, well, something fell off your truck. And I said, what? He's like, yeah, I'll call you back. I'm going to stop and pick him up. And sure enough, I started getting pictures of my mavens all beat up and scratched and dented. But I'll tell you what, I'll tell you this. I put those things up to my eyeballs, and they still worked flawlessly.
See, we made them Brett proof.
Yeah. that's right. That should be standard in all your optics, because
I wish it had a camera on that. That'd be some great advertising for us.
Well, yeah, I thought that'd be great for you, because they got—I mean, they fell off a truck at 60 miles an hour. I don't know if I drove over them with the trailer, but I'll tell you what—they're dinged up and they work great, which I thought
that's good to hear.
I thought that was a testament to the quality. So,
yeah, that's something we're pretty proud of. We put a lot of time and effort into designing these to make it withstand all the Bretts of the world. It's, you know, we hope that people don't drive down the road and let them fall out, but
right.
But lucky for you, our warranty does cover that type of disaster. So it's good to hear that they survived it. You know, I'd like to say that that'll always happen, but you can do some things to those that if they fall just right, you're going to have some issues. But again, we've got a great warranty on them. Anything ever happens to them, if we can't fix it, then we replace the optics. So hopefully I'll get them back from you here after your any of the hunts that you've got coming up, and we'll get them checked out and get them fixed up.
Well, and Brendan Weaver, our guest here from Maven on Sporting Journal Radio, and we're talking about the quality of Maven optics and then the price tag, which the quality of them makes you think they're going to be more expensive than they are, and you're able to do that because you guys sell direct, right?
Correct. We launched our brand about 4 years ago. We've had products on the market now for about 3 years, but the thing that I guess there's a couple of things that really make us different from our competitors. And you're right with one, is that we only sell direct. Can't find them in stores anywhere. You buy them straight from us off our website. And then the other thing is that our B series, which includes the one that you have, can all be customized. So you get on our site. We've got 5 different camos, 8 different anodizing options. You can engrave your name on them in case you drop them out the window when you're driving down the road and hope somebody finds them. So those two things kind of set us apart. And the pricing is something that I think, you know, because as consumers, we're always looking to see what kind of deal we can get. You know, we're selling our B series full size, start around $900, go up to around $1,400, but those would be about a third more to a half more, you know, 100% margin, you're looking at going to retail. So those things are going to be those things, if they were sold at retail, are going to be up around $2,000. So that's where we compete as far as quality and performance, but the price is considerably less than that because there's no retail middleman there.
And you guys actually launched some new products this year, is that right?
We did. We came out of the gates with something we'd spent a lot of time on, and going after the high end, the European brands out there. And what we found is that the binocular buyer out there has probably gone through at least two stages in their purchasing. Almost everybody either got their binocular as a gift, a hand-me-down from somebody who had one and they got it that way, or they went in and they bought something that was relatively inexpensive, and that's kind of how they got into it. A lot of people just keep that binocular, and that's the one that they have for the rest of their life. Then a certain amount of those people have you know, they've gone out with people hunting, birding, whatever, and they're like, they realize that there's a lot of great quality products out there that, but they're going to have to spend a little bit more money on those. And so they make that second purchase. And so that, or the first real purchase of a quality glass. And that takes them up to around between the, you know, I'd say the $300 up to the $700 price point. Well, we didn't have anything in that area. And, you know, it's hard to introduce people to your brand when you have, when you're kind of just at that upper end. People don't have a way to get acquainted with you. And $1,000 is a lot of money for a binocular. And so it's, we kind of limited ourselves that way, and thought that what we could do is try to get that person who is going to, make a significant purchase in their mind above that first binocular that they have. And so that's what we came out with. It's our C series. We've got a 10x42, an 8x42. Then we also have a compact version, 7x28 and 10x28. And, you know, you're getting with the full size, those begin at $325 for the eights, $350 for the tens, and you're getting a glass that sells at retail from our competitors anywhere from $500 to $600. So you're getting $500 to $600 glass, but you're getting that for $325, $350.
Nice. And the C series you can find out more about at mavenbuilt.com. Also the B series, and you got some spotting scopes on there too.
Yes, we've got a straight and angled, same specs on both of them, 25 to 50. By 80 millimeter objective, fluoride lenses, really a fantastic glass. We launched those last July, I believe. And so those have done real well for us. So that kind of rounds out our upper end line as those spotting scopes. And then we've got a compact version of our B series, two full size, and then one that's significantly larger with a 56 millimeter objective.
And people listening right now, they can go to that website, mavenbuilt.com, and actually build their optics right now, build their binoculars or spotting scope right now, see what they look like, see what they're all about.
Absolutely. That's what we want them to do. Mavenbuilt.com. There's a custom builder on there. You can spend hours on there designing things. There's billions of choices. Sometimes I talk to people and they're like, man, I just can't figure out which one I want to press the buy button. I'm like, well, give me your phone. You build something up and I'll push the buy button for you.
There you go. Do you have anything that makes it look like they fell off a truck at 60 miles an hour?
Well, I'll send those to you, and you can do that custom work and then put your autograph on them.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Perfect. Well, mavenbuilt.com is the website. Brendan Weaver, I'll make sure to put my Mavens through the test here this fall, see what else I can do to them for you. Good luck, and thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, man. It's good talking to you, Brett.
Up next, Joe Henry with a Lake of the Woods report, and we'll get some dove hunting tips with Tony Crotty.
With 2 million acres of hunting land and water to choose from, the Thief River Falls area offers hunters choices of deer, elk, bear, grouse, woodcock, and sandhill cranes. This is also a growing area for duck and goose populations, making it an untapped bonanza for waterfowlers. In any season, Thief River Falls is truly a hunter's paradise. Visit Thief River Falls for an authentic hunting experience in a variety of comfortable lodging amenities. They're pet friendly too. Plan your trip today at www.visittrf.com.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We are back on Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson, and each week we talk to Joe Henry up at Lake of the Woods. And you'd think after talking every day, every week about Lake of the Woods, you'd think it, after a while, I'd be like, geez, we're going to talk about the same old thing. But no, Joe, every week there's always something to talk about. And we talked a little bit about it off the air. It's that time of year where boom, 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 just things, time is going to move by way too fast. And there's new seasons opening up, new things to do. It's getting to be that crazy. I mean, summer has got to be a crazy time of the year for you at Lake of the Woods. But it's got to be, everything is going to start happening here pretty soon.
I'll tell you what, you know, not only does fishing up there just keep on rolling on, but now as fall comes on us, we're adding hunting too. And, You know what that season's like, Brett. It goes fast.
It does. It goes way too fast. It's my favorite time of the year, and I always struggle with should I have a shotgun in my hand or should I have a fishing pole in my hand? And you know, people don't really think about it too much. But Joe, up at Lake of the Woods, you could do both.
Well, yeah, a cast and blast is a really good opportunity. You know, for people that are hunters, I mean, goodness gracious, we have three species of grouse. We have literally hundreds of thousands of acres of public hunting land, which, you know, growing up in the St. Cloud area in central Minnesota, I mean, that would be a dream come true. I mean, you can be going out all day long hunting public land and not see another hunter. We have walking trails. We have ATV trails. We have dirt roads, just greatest accessibility. You know, the three species of grouse, Brad, are, you know, the rough grouse, spruce grouse and the sharp tail. And quite honestly, the rough grouse is by far the most common, best eating grouse. But we just, it's loaded. And then, you know, others, they'll go after the waterfowl. And we have quite a bit of field hunting for geese. You know, we have a lot of agricultural land that borders the lake. So those geese are coming off that water going to feed. That's a good opportunity. Then, of course, our duck hunting. You know, we have so much water up there. You got some puddle ducks going in the backwaters. And then, of course, as the season rolls on, you get the divers following the lake down, and you can get a really good shoot.
I want to hunt divers on Lake of the Woods real, real bad. I know one year I was up at Ballard's. I think it was around Halloween. We were there late season. We were fishing the river for walleyes, and I was watching some of the guys go out and shoot divers, and yeah, we were catching nice walleyes, but I'm not going to lie, I was a little jealous about those guys out there shooting divers. So it's a fun, I know fall, you know, it's a transition time, but boy, what a great time to be up at Lake of the Woods. Joe Henry is our guest here on Sporting Journal Radio, and you know, we've already been talking about ice fishing a little bit on the radio show, and now, you know, if guys aren't thinking about fishing in the fall, I guarantee you they're thinking about it in the winter. And ice fishing trips are getting booked up right now, aren't they, Joe?
They are. Yeah, the phone's been ringing. You figure this time of year, I mean, football's starting. I know up at Lake of the Woods this past week, we had some morning temps in the low 40s. Some trees are starting to change colors. I mean, it's starting to happen, and this gets people thinking about the future. And, oh, shoot, I better make my reservation so I get the resort and the time I want. And it's been happening, absolutely.
Yeah, I am excited for fall, of course, but I'm excited to get back out on hard water too. And Joe, I want to come up this winter with Prairie Sportsman and film a snowmobile trip, maybe up to the Northwest Angle. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really kind of cool because, you know, there are more cosmopolitan snowmobile destinations, but I'll tell you this, we literally have about over 500 miles of groomed staked trails in our area, and they're off the radar screen, so they don't get the hammer time that a lot of real busy trails get. And it's also quite diverse because, you know, if you snowmobile on the south end of the lake, you know, you can go through lots of different forest land and such. In fact, there's one stretch where you go, I think it's 60 something miles, and you only cross two roads. It's all wilderness. Then you can snowmobile all the way across the lake to the northwest angle, you know, 42 miles, groom stake trail across the lake. Then, of course, you get up to the angle, and it's the start of the Canadian Shield. So the whole look and the trail system, it's just a whole different appearance with the environment. And it's really kind of a neat area that way. Heck, you know, the other thing you got to remember, you got to make a stop at the Igloo Bar on the ice over at Zippel Bay when you're snowmobiling. Right. That's got to be a must.
Joe Henry, our guest, talking Lake of the Woods Sporting Journal Radio. One of the great things about hunting and fishing are the stories that get told, whether it's happening while you're out there hunting and fishing, or maybe back at the cabin afterwards, or even down the road telling your kids and grandchildren some of those stories. And I got to imagine, Joe, there were some different kinds of stories, but some captivating stories that were told at Lake of the Woods recently.
You know, we this last weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we had our annual, it was our fourth annual Pay It Forward Veterans event. And we brought up about 50 new guests. We had a few alumni. We had about 70 veterans in total. And I'll tell you what, you know, charter boats brought everybody out fishing for a three-night, two-day fishing trip. And some of the stories, it's really interesting. You know, we put this program together to honor veterans, to honor, celebrate, and recognize all veterans. And, you know, through great fishing, wonderful meals, entertainment, good lodging, all that stuff still takes place. It's there. That creates the environment. I'll tell you where the magic is, Brett. It's veterans spending time with other veterans. And that's where the magic happens. That's where the healing happens. We had, again, another group of just awesome, awesome veterans up there. I had a chance to, I ran a charter boat on Friday of our event, and I had some wonderful people on the Vietnam and World War II, and Jack Zaragoza of the Twin Cities is a World War II vet. He's 91 years old, and he was a gunner on a ship, protecting the ship from the kamikazes. He said at one point in time, he had a plane coming right in on him, and he was, you know, shooting away at it, and the plane crashed in the ocean right next to the ship, just missed it. Mm. He said another time, a plane came down and literally flew between the gunners and missed the ship and crashed into the ocean. He said they had some close calls, but, you know, having the opportunity to rub elbows with a veteran like that and to laugh and to joke. He was so funny. We had the boat of anglers, you know, fishing walleyes, and, you know, he had to sit down on an engine hatch to reel in a big walleye, and his rod would be tweaked over in half, and that thing would just be thumping hard, you know, like a big walleye. And he'd pull that thing in, and he caught a number of them. So finally, after catching a number of big walleyes, he'd hook that thing, and he'd get that rod in his hand, and he'd say, "Ah, crap. Probably another throwback," you know, as we're filling the cooler. We all got a good charge over that. And then once we filled the cooler with walleyes, I was letting 17 and 18 inch walleyes go. And, you know, Jack said, "Well, Joe, why are you letting those go?" "Well, Jack, you know, we have our limit. You know, we got to let them go." And he says, "Well, we have our limit. What are we doing out here? Hell, let's go back to the resort and have a drink." So really a neat, neat time, you know, good laughs. There was tears, there was laughter, there was love, there was healing, just a really, really special event. And of course, you know, being part of it, I was honored to be with those veterans, and man, I can't tell you how special that is.
Absolutely. And boy, anytime you can thank those people for their service in whatever capacity, I think is great. So Pay It Forward event on Lake of the Woods up there. Nice work with that. Joe Henry, if people want to go up and fish, maybe they want to hunt and fish this fall or book their ice fishing trip, where do they find out more information?
You know, best way is our website. Check out our website. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right, now we're going to start something new here on Sporting Journal Radio. We're going to do a little segment we recorded in the truck. It's a segment called In the Truck with Tony Crotty. Cleverly titled. Because, Tony, it seems like we're always recording this show in the truck somewhere.
Yeah, it never fails, but it's that time of year, so we're going to be in the truck driving around. That's right. We're recording this on Wednesday night, actually. We're out scouting for geese in western Minnesota because, of course, this weekend is the early Canada Goose opener in Minnesota, the September season, five a day. And then we get ready for the regular season, which will start up here in a couple of weeks. But it's that time of year. Doves opened up on Friday. And I wanted to talk more about doves than Canada geese, even though we're watching geese right now. But, Tony, we've also been looking for dove fields all day long today, too.
Yeah, we kind of do both at the same time. That's the beauty of scouting this time of year is you can scout the geese early and late. And in between, you can scout the doves. And a lot of times they'll be in the same fields.
It's been interesting this year, you know, early. Even just a couple of weeks ago, we had Canada geese all over the place. And then earlier this week, we were out scouting for them. We couldn't find a goose to save our lives.
No, they moved out of the area. It's pretty typical for this type of, this time of year out here. We seem to have a lot more geese around, you know, early August, and then they kind of clear out. And I don't know if it's food sources or what, but they bunch up and they move, and then we'll usually see them come back here in a couple weeks.
But Friday, we were targeting doves, and I want to give, if people are going to head out for doves this weekend or maybe this week or next weekend, I want to give them some tips for dove hunting. So we're with Tony Crotty here from Mid-Migration Outfitters in the truck. Here on Sporting Journal Radio, for people that want to dove hunt, the first thing they got to do is scout, right?
Yep, first thing would be to scout, find some sort of small grain. Wheat fields are usually the best, but you can find them in alfalfa, drown outs, even cut silage fields, old fields that have been dug up, anything like that, but wheat would be the best. Find them in it and go from there.
So once you find your small grain, maybe it's the wrong time of day, but you're like, geez, there's a wheat field that could have some doves in it. What other things are you looking for?
Well, you're going to want to have water nearby because they're going to need water, and then you're going to also need some sort of a roost, whether that be a grove of trees or, you know, I guess one other thing that we look for a lot of times too is power lines. It's an easy way to find birds, but they're always going to need some sort of a roost, some sort of water, and then some sort of food. If you can find them three, you should be in good shape.
What kind of gear do you bring with you dove hunting?
Well, what we do is we usually set spinning wing decoys. We set, you know, Mojo doves is what we use, but you can use Mojo ducks or, you know, anything that you got with spinning wings on it will usually work on them. And then we'll set some full bodies out, things like that. And you're going to want to sit somewhere where you can hide and be somewhat camouflaged, and they should decoy right into you.
All right. Well, the geese that we were watching are on the move, so we're going to wrap up this series of In the Truck with Tony Crotty here on Sporting Journal Radio. Doves are very tasty, too. Get about 2 ounces of meat off of every dove. Put them on the grill. They're delicious.
I'm Brett T-Bone Amundson. Make sure you take some time to spend some time in the outdoors this week.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.